Good evening. It's great to see you this evening. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I think I thought for a while in churches, this time of year is more New Year than the calendar New Year, really, for us. And for many organizations, it's the same sort of thing, really. This really is the mark of a new year for us. And with the new year, brings new school classes for my kids, brings new routines, and it brought new bunk beds to our house too. I ended up sleeping on the top bunk last night because with the new year, we're supposed to come a new bedtime regime in my house. The kids weren't supposed to be in my bed, but Jessica was in my bed last night, so I ended up in her bed on the top bunk. I was a bit worried about rolling. Well, I was a bit worried about the whole thing collapsing, actually, but we were fine. Also, with the new year, brings a new American football season. No one cares, okay. That's exciting for me. Last year, I did my first ever fantasy American Football League, and with my friend, we actually won the league. Yeah. Why is no one excited by that? Seriously. What? There were 10 other teams in the league, and we won. I thought it was good news, but no. It's too late for that. With the new year, also brings a new series, and we are embarking on a 4-week series called Inspired, and we want to talk about the things that inspire us, purpose for our life, the things that excite us about faith, the decisions we make about life, and what's at right the center of our lives, and that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 weeks. And I get the privilege of just sharing a few things with you this evening. And I'm going to share with you from a passage in Matthew 21. If you have not got a Bible, could you please raise your hand for me? And you would like one. You don't have to have a Bible. If you want one, the welcome team are going to come round and give them to you. And Matthew 21. We're talking tonight from the triumphal entry, which is an amazing piece of scripture. One of those stories that appears in all four Gospels. We know it's important if it hits all four. And so it's in all four Gospels. And we're going to take Matthew's account for today. I may look at some other bits from other Gospels too, but we're going to read this one tonight. Okay. Are you ready? Matthew 21, verse 1 says this: "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mountain of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet: 'Say to your daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' Verse 11 then says, the crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" This scene that we embark on this evening is a scene of great excitement. It's a scene of great joy. It's a scene of great stirring. In one other translation of this passage, in verse 10, it says, "And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was trembling with excitement." Isn't that amazing? Jesus rides on the donkey, and the whole city trembles with excitement. In comes the king, and the whole city trembles with excitement. I wonder this evening what your response is to the king. I wonder what your heart and your mind and your soul and your body's responses to the king. As he rode in on the donkey, the whole city trembled with excitement. I want to ask three questions this evening. I want to ask, number one, is Jesus in the middle of your life? Number two, I want to ask, where is Jesus sending you this year? And number three, is there anything you need to lay before him this year? Three questions. This is really a New Year message. This is about helping us to start the new year together really well. To start this new year inspired, fired up, ready to go into the coming weeks and the coming months with a fire in our bellies, with a passion for Jesus, ready to go out and do the things that he's called us to do. Each one in this room, every single one, every single heart and mind has been prepared by Jesus to do something amazing on this planet. You were made for something amazing. And no matter what situation or circumstance you sit in this evening, I want you to know tonight that you were made for something amazing. You were made to change this earth. And you were made to be inspired by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as he rides in on his donkey, are we going to tremble with excitement? So is Jesus in the middle of your life? One thing I noticed as I read this passage, in verse 9, it said this, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna in the highest. So the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him, which means that Jesus was somewhere in the middle. Because there was a whole load of people ahead of him and there was a whole load of people following behind. Jesus was right in the middle. Praise surrounded him and he was somewhere in the middle with the people ahead and behind. As I read it, I got this question in my head. Well, is Jesus in the middle of my life? Does praise of Jesus fit right in the middle of my life? Does praise surround him in the middle of my life? It took me back a couple of years in my life where just over 2 years ago. I'd been leading worship at an event in Bristol and I'd honestly had a really hard time doing it. Not because of the event itself, but because I have a tendency to be at times quite an insecure person, and all my insecure securities came out in that 2 days, and I had a pretty horrible time. It was hard. I came away from that event in a bit of a weird place. Lots of questions, lots of thoughts about myself and wondering how on earth I got myself into a position where I thought I'd dealt with all this stuff and it came back up again. Anyone have ever had that experience where you thought you dealt with something and then it came right back out at you again? Yeah, that's life, hey. Sometimes that happens. Anyone in the middle of something right now? Anyone in the middle? I'm in the middle of some stuff right now too. Anyway, 2 years ago, I come off the back of this event. And I'm sitting down in a coffee shop with a guy who is been doing some work with me, some discipleship work with me at that point in my life. He sits down across the table from me and he puts a jar of buttons in front of me. Interesting. Buttons. Sorry if you didn't get that. Buttons. A jar of buttons, all different colors and all different sizes. And he knew that I had come with something that I wanted to talk about. And he put this jar of buttons in front of me and he said, I want you to make a picture of how you feel, how you're feeling with these buttons, and I want you to talk me through it as you make the picture. Anyone ever done that before? There's no hands in the air, just for the recording. No one's ever done that. It's a weird experience, but very interesting and quite profound. What came out of it? What happened was, I began to talk about this experience in my life, which began to broaden out into wider life, not just this experience of this event that I'd been leading worship at, but broader, wider life. And as I talked, what happened was, I keep picking up a drink and not drinking, but I'll get to that in a minute. What happened was, and what I didn't notice, and as he reflected back to me after I'd finished, the first thing I did was pick up the biggest button, big orange button. And I placed it right in the middle of the table. And everything else that I talked about in my life, smaller buttons, that came out of that bigger button in the middle. This button was in the middle of my picture. When I talked about the biggest button, The name I gave to that biggest button was Christchurch Clifton. One thing that I discovered, or the guy that I was sitting with reflected back to me, he said to me, Christchurch Clifton is at the center of your life, and you didn't talk about God once. I thought, oh, that's interesting. What happened in my life was, over a sequence of maybe a couple of years, or just because things were intense, or because just whatever, this space, this building, this people, everything I was doing became the center of my life, and everything else in my life, and I really mean everything, and I'm even talking about, to an extent, family and friends and Jesus, and it just, Christchurch became the center of my world. And the whole way through, I talked to this story. I didn't even mention God. I didn't mention Jesus. I didn't talk about my faith once. Not one time did I talk about my faith. It was all just this thing in the middle, which was Christchurch Clifton. Now, you could extrapolate that into any part of your world or any part of your life that might be relevant for you. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but sometimes we place other things right in the middle of our lives. Sometimes the things that don't need to be in the middle find themselves in the middle. And so I wonder this evening, as we begin a new year, what do you find in the middle of your life? What is the thing that finds itself in the middle that you pray, you give the praise to in your life? What are those things? What are those places? What are those people that find themselves in the middle? The second thing I want to say about the middle is that I think that sometimes being in the middle is the hardest place to be. There's probably some people in the room tonight who find themselves in the middle of something. You see, if you go on a boat and you sail away from shore and you find yourself not yet at the other landing point and you can just see water all around you, you're very much in the middle. It can feel like quite an isolated place. Being in the middle is isolating depending on who you have there with you. Being in the middle can be the hardest place to be depending on who you've got with you in the middle. So if you're in the middle of something right now, if you're in the middle of a tough time, a rough circumstance, a bad relationship, whatever, if you're in the middle of something, it's going to be harder depending on who you've got in the middle with you. So my question to you is Jesus in the middle of your life? At the beginning of a new year, is Jesus at the center? As the crowds went ahead and the people followed behind, and Jesus is on the donkey somewhere in the middle, they shout, Hosanna, save us now. It was a sign of praise. It was a time of excitement. The king rode in on the donkey and the city trembled with excitement. So I wonder what's in the middle of your life this evening. Question number two. Where is Jesus sending you this year? Or what might he be sending you to? Or who might he be sending you to or with? What is he sending you to? Or where is he sending you to this year? Right at the top of this passage, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mountain of Olives, Jesus said to two disciples, he sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there. He sent two disciples ahead of him to the village down the road to get the donkeys. He sent them. That word sent is the same, it's the same word where we get that word apostle. Sent one. Sent with a mission. Sent with authority. You know, when Jesus sends, even in the small things, he sends with a mission and he sends with authority. Even as he sends two disciples to collect two donkeys, he sends with a mission and purpose and he sends with authority. That's what that word means. That's what that word means. I don't know if you feel like your life is filled with purpose right now. I don't know if you feel like one of those two disciples who is around Jesus and has been sent by him to collect the donkeys. Even in the small things, I don't know if you feel that sense of purpose in your life. I believe that Jesus wants to send each and every one of us with mission and purpose. He wants to send us with authority. So just take a moment, take a minute to think about the shape of your life right now. Take a minute to think about where the places that you find yourself the most are. Think about the people where those places are. Think about the relationships that you hold in those places. Do you have a sense in those relationships and in that place? Do you have a sense of sending? Do you have a sense of purpose and mission? Do you have a sense that you've been sent with authority by Jesus? Even in the small things, Jesus sends with purpose and mission and authority. So I'm not saying right here that it has to look like anything. It would be easy when you talk about that sense of being purposeful and sent with authority and mission. It's easy to think about a certain thing in your head, a certain aspect of life. It looks a certain way. It doesn't have to look like anything. Maybe you got sent by Jesus to where you are right now, but you just forgot that he sent you. Maybe it doesn't feel purposeful because you forgot the word he gave you. Maybe it's about rediscovering the sentness of you in the place that you find yourself in. Maybe it's about going back to Jesus and rehearing the word he said to you in the beginning. Maybe it's about realizing that you don't have the purpose where you are, that Jesus didn't send you where you are, and that's a challenge too. But take a minute right now. Think about the places, the relationships, the people. Do you feel sent by Jesus? Are you sent with mission and purpose and authority? Okay, I'm going to just be quiet for a minute. Have a think about those things. I'll come back in a sec. I think tonight it'd be great to commission some people. For anyone who would like it, I think, to be commissioned into a new year. To be sent, to be sent with mission and purpose and authority. I think it'd be a great time to do that. And maybe as we come to a close in a bit, we'll maybe do that. We'll maybe pray for people who want some sense of commissioning into this year. Okay. So is Jesus in the middle of your life, number one? Where is Jesus sending you this year? Number three, is there anything you need to lay before him this year? One of the things that you notice in this passage, from verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on the coats. Most of the crowds spread their coats on the road as before a king, while others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. As they lay down their stuff, they're laying a pathway for the king. You know, John writes in his version of this story that the crowds were gathering for Passover, one of the mandatory festivals the Jews had to be in Jerusalem for. They were gathering for Passover. And it was at this time in their calendar It was this moment in time where in history, the Jews would choose the lamb for their sacrifice in Passover. Some people say it was this very day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. It was the same day that the Jews were choosing their lambs for their sacrifice. And as the crowds gathered for their festival of Passover, and they began on that day to choose their lambs for their sacrifice for that festival, in comes the Lamb of God on the donkey, presenting himself before the city, before the people, and presenting himself before the nation, the world, and presenting himself as we read it now, before all of humanity, the Lamb of God riding in on the donkey. You know, nothing happens by accident with Jesus. His timing is perfect. And as he presented himself, and as he walked along the road on the donkey, down came the coats and down came the branches. And people laid down their stuff before him and laid a pathway for the king. I wondered this evening, my last question was, is there anything that you need to lay down this year? Anything that you need to place before him? Anything that you need to let go of? You know, coats in that day were valuable things. You know, in the story of blind Bartimaeus, when Jesus is passing by and Bartimaeus has a coat on. He has a coat. For a blind man to have a coat was extraordinary. It was of great value to people to have a coat. Seems silly to us. But they laid down their coats. They laid down the things that were of value to them, the things that were of comfort to them, the things that were of warmth to them. My guess is that the people who were cutting down the branches didn't have coats, so they just were having to do something. They were laying down before the king, I think, the things of value, the things of comfort and security and warmth. You know, when blind Bartimaeus throws his coat off, it's like it's not just a coat. He's throwing off his comfort and his security and the things that he's known for all those years on that ground as he sat there. Is there something that God is laying on your heart today, this week, this month, this year, for you to lay down before him? Something of value, something of comfort, something of security. Is there something that he's asking you to lay down before him? We believe that this is an important year. It's a year, as Rebecca was saying, that she talked of freedom. We believe this is a year of freedom. This is a year of importance. We believe that we're called to be inspired by Jesus, to be in the places that he's called us to be sent by him to change the lives of those around us. How many people in the room have got someone in their life that they would love to see dramatically changed by Jesus? How many? Put your hands in the air. Pretty much everyone in the room. Many of us have got people in our lives that we want to see changed by Jesus. And what's your role? What's your role? What's your purpose in that at the beginning of a new year? Are you going to choose to put Jesus right in the center of your life this year? Are you going to know where he's sent you, where he's filled you, where he's given you purpose and mission and authority? And maybe today and maybe this year, maybe there's something that he's asking you to lay before him. But we believe this is a year of great purpose. And we want to start it really well. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me as I close. In a second, I'm going to invite anyone that would like that sense of commissioning into the new year, just to jump forward into this space down here. And we'd love to pray for you all, I think at once, at the same time, for anyone that would like it. It's not something you have to do, obviously. We're just going to offer a space for that. So why don't we just settle our hearts before we do that, before we invite you to come and respond. Let's settle our hearts. Just take a moment to reflect on what's been said or what's been going on in your heart during this time, which may be totally different to what I've been speaking on, and that's fine too. Jesus, thank you for the things that you're saying and doing in this room this evening, for what you've already said and done, and for what you're going to say and do in the next time we have together as well. We welcome you to come and speak into our hearts, to change and transform us, to send us out with your power. We love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I think, is that okay? Yeah, I think we'll just invite you forward if you'd like to be prayed for and be commissioned into your new year. Then we're going to do that in a sec. The team, I think, will begin to worship and we'll connect on what we want to do. But let's start there and see where we go. So come now. If you would like just that sense of commissioning into the new year, just come now, and we'll. It depends on how many people come, but we'll see how we go. Worship guys, why don't you jump up at the same time? That'd be good. Unless you want to be also commissioned into your year, which is fine. Awesome. I will just say at this point, genuinely, this is not something you have to do, or you know, this is just a thing that if God's speaking to you in this moment, and you want to do that. That's wonderful. We want to commission you. We want to send you out. In my heart, I'm doing it for all of you anyway, so it's good. I don't know if that's a bit cheeky, but probably is. Brilliant. Okay. There's probably too many of you to get around individually. So we'll just pray together. Great, let's pray. If you're not engaging in this specifically, I would encourage you to pray for all these guys standing here. This is a thing we do together. Even if you're not wanting it for yourself, we can still do it together. Let's pray. And I invite you, if you're being prayed for, just to settle your heart, but just to remember those questions, to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just do whatever he wants to do in this moment. And it might be for some that sense of commissioning, for others it might be a totally different thing. It'd be good also to pray for people at some point, for if you find yourself in the middle of something, and we want to pray for you as well, because that's really important. But let's start here. Okay. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. We welcome you to come. And just in this moment, to do whatever it is that's in your heart to do. Thank you that you're not seeing just a body of people right now. You're just seeing many, many individual hearts and souls and minds. You're seeing people that you've created, and your children, uniquely made. And you know how each of them works and responds. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to do whatever it is that you want to do in this room right now. We welcome you. Yeah. We'll just give a moment just to let that settle, and we'll keep praying in a sec. Again, if you're not specifically here and you're not necessarily engaging in this particular prayer, then please pray for the people that are here. Pray for them. There's definitely a sense on some people at this point that there is a very specific commissioning, I think, happening for you for this season. I think the Holy Spirit is doing something specific with you, some of you right now, which is great. We'll allow that just to happen. Father, we pray for every person. We pray that this would not just be a restorative and healing season, but it would be a sending season. Really feel that for some of you standing here this evening, that this is a season for sending for you, where you're being sent specifically by Jesus with mission and purpose and authority for the task that he's given you. This is a sent season. Father, I pray that you would just meet with those specific people, that you are really empowering this season to send them, whether it's into new things or it's a reawakening of ascending that you've already given them. Father, we also pray for anyone here this evening who is feeling unsure in their purpose and their sending at this time. We pray, Father, that they would rediscover purpose. We pray there would be a rediscovering of mission and sentness and authority. We pray also that there will be a time and a space for us just to put you right bang in the center of our lives. Jesus, we place you in the middle. I encourage you all in this moment to do whatever you can just to place Jesus in the middle. It's going to look really different for every single one of you, just to place him right in the center of your life.